This is David Williams working with the Whitley's Oral History Group, talking to Richard Quarterman about his memories of Great Whitley.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was born in Stourport, Lucy Baldwin's. Mm-hmm. Lived in Great Whitley pretty well all my life, apart from about 12 months I lived in Little Whitley when I got married. About 41 years I think it is now, yeah. I attended Great Whitley School, got into trouble there as well, ended up with a broken leg. We used to jump on a pal's back and then we'd go around the field trying to pull each other over. I ended up under a couple, I think, ended up with a broken leg. So I had to attend school with a plaster. Apart from that, I think the school days went quite well. Well, I did have to stop with the headmaster for a little while. Well, my mother and father went away on holiday. I remember my sister went somewhere else. My brother went somewhere else. But I had to stop with Mr. and Mrs. Ford, so I couldn't avoid school, much to my disgust.
You didn't have far to travel to school from the Dairy Ridge. Has that always been the family home?
Yes, it has, yeah. No excuse for not being at school, even in snowy weather. You just crossed the road and over the fence and we were there.
Rich, as a youngster in the village, I know you and your brother were big into motorbike scrambling, and Red Marley Hill Climb was one of your big things.
Oh, that was the main topic of Easter Monday, that was.
So would you be good enough to tell us what it's like? You're there on your bike, on the starting chain. You can smell the Castrol R in the air. Yeah. You're against a competitor. Yeah. And the flag's going to drop. What's it like?
It used to be a flag to start with, and then it was a light after you waited for the light to go out, and that was it. It was off. But I'll talk about the adrenaline. It's overwhelming, really. I just look forward to Red Marley. And after that, we eventually got into scrambling a little bit. I first rode up there in about, I think it was 1959. I had a road bike, a Triumph Trophy, that was a 650 twin. I took the lights, number plates off that one and rode that up there the first year. And I think I rode it the second year. Awesome power that was. Nearly come off the 1 year going up there. I got a bit sideways like this 136 I'm looking at there.
The clutch is in your left hand.
Oh yeah.
You've let it go.
Yeah.
The wheel is spinning, you're moving off the chain. What's happening now? You're going up through the orchard.
Yeah.
Was there a crossing?
There was a little crossing just at the end of the orchard. You jumped out of that one and then up a straight until you got to the Pimple. It was a little bit rough in places. Got to the Pimple, just kept as much as you could on there, leapt through the air, on up to the two little bumps at the top, which used to catch me out a little bit sometimes. I'd get overtaken on those, whereas somebody used to come flying through. I slowed down a touch too much, and they were by me. And it was only a few yards to the finish. We didn't have much time to give it too much thought.
Well, certainly as a boy, we were always cheering for Richie Quarterman. There were some big names there. Alf Hagen?
Yeah. Alf Hagen, Jerry Goodwin, Butch Goodwin, as he was known by. Alf used to be like a little demon out of there. He used to crouch over the bike and he was gone. You didn't usually see which way he went. Eventually rode against some BSA Works riders up there. There was Brian Martin. Give him a good run for his money the one day. They were testing a new BSA out up there. But he did beat me. There was Mick Burton from Worcester, although I think Mick Burton from Worcester, his family used to have a fish and chip shop in Checkets Lane. There was Ken Mayo from Malvern.
We mentioned Vale Onslow.
Oh yes, there was Vale Onslow, yes, he was a very competitive rider, certainly for his age those years. He had two sons also rode up there, they were very quick. Every year they'd come, they used to look almost like they had new bikes each year. And then there was the Hewitt brothers, they come 1 year on Husqvarnas, and they were very quick bikes, two strokes, 350s and 400s, I think they were. But they went like bullets, they did.
Am I right in remembering a chap used to ride a very old Sunbeam?
Oh, Corry Ambry he was known as, yeah. He's lived in our village. He lived in a village earlier on. He has passed away now. But he was one of the original riders, I think, on the hill from when it was first started. That was got together, I think, by Vale Onslow. I can't remember who else, but there was three or four come out and had a look at the hill and suggested they had a hill climb there. And there used to be a bend in it originally, but I don't remember that. That was before my time.
Yeah, one of my memories of waking up on Easter Monday and your dad's field on the Stairport Road used to be the car park, and it'd gradually fill up and fill up.
Yeah, if you were up on the hill, you could see it filling up as the day went by. Earlier years used to get probably half a dozen or even more double-deckers come out from Birmingham, and they used to park down the Stairport Road. There wasn't the traffic around then, otherwise nobody would have got by, but they always used to park down there. So they brought quite a number of people out. I suppose there wasn't the transport, though, there, those days, was there? And I always remember the 1 year, I don't remember which year it was, but they bought a Coke stand there, and it was the glass bottles Coke, and there used to be a refund on the money on the bottles. Quite a few people used to throw them down. We used to gather them up and get the deposit back on the bottles. We used to drink quite a bit ourselves, though, as well.
Yeah, there always used to be some good salvage to be had after Red Marley. I know as a kid I went up there and used to find odd bit of change dropped.
Yeah, you would, yeah.
And 1 year I found a Castrol flag as it got stuck in the mud. They used to mark the track with little flags,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah.
And you spent a lifetime in the haulage business. Is that right?
Yes, from about 1963. When I left school at 16, I spent 2 years, or nearly 2 years, on a farm, the Yowes farm at Great Whitley, that was mainly pigs and poultry. I worked there until I had my motorbike accident in 59, I think it was, which put me out of action for about 4 months, I think it was. That was on the road as well. But I couldn't wait to get the bike back. Yeah. Always been a motorcyclist, even now. Still riding Triumphs. I was only out yesterday and got soaked. We went up to the Norton factory yesterday. We had a guided tour around the Norton factory at Donington. Sean Gardner, I think, runs that now. And anyway, coming back, it rained all the way.
The lorries of Quarterman's Transport, I think it used to be green in colour, weren't they, Rich?
Yes, they were, yeah. Dad had four lorries when we started to work for him. He had two lorries, short wheelbases, working for the council on patching. They'd go out with a bit of tarmac, do all the patching through the local roads. One was Reg Waugh, one driver, and the other was George Deakin. And eventually when these two people retired, we went into general hauling, mainly agricultural, farm feeds and fertilisers. We used to go down to Avemouth most days of the week, either bring feed back or fertiliser from the Avemouth mills. A little while later, we gradually got on to hauling steel. We had one lorry hauling steel for John Tainton, and then as John Tainton grew, we grew the fleet with him, and we eventually got it up to 22 lorries, four rigid six-wheelers, and 18 in Arctics, mostly triaxle trailers.